Hey, church, before you take a seat, say hi to three or five people right now. Say hi to three or five people right now. Shake their hands. Give them a high five. Give them a hug. Kids ministry, you are dismissed. A special lady in the back is saying hello to you. Kids ministry, you are dismissed. Say hello. Say hello to a couple more people. If you've never seen them, say hello to them. Give them the gear on airport. Hello. Say hello. One more person. One more person. Say hi, hi, hi. There we go. Let them know that they're seen, that they're heard, that they're acknowledged. Kids ministry, you are dismissed. Good morning, Christ Church. How we feeling? We feel good. Good morning. Hey, listen, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Good morning, church. So glad to be with you guys. For those who may be new here, my name is Javon. I get the opportunity to serve as one of the pastors here. And such a delight to serve you guys on this beautiful, wonderful Sunday morning. Can we give God some praise for some great sunshine? I mean, I'm loving it. I'm loving the sunshine. I need the sunshine. And I'm just so glad to serve you guys. And hey, can you guys just give me a big thank you to our good buddy Logan last week for bringing the word? Brother Ameline brought the word last week, my man. One of the staff members here, he does a great job, always does a great job. So thank God for him and his service. Can we give it up for the worship team one more time, too? These good-looking men up here. Man, and Haley doing a great job. Man, God is just so good and just so inspired to be here. Just got a couple things before we jump into today's message. The very first thing is I want to take the time and I want to acknowledge just this weekend and what everything means and just acknowledge just what Memorial Day weekend actually represents. You know, no matter where you may be on how you feel about our country, there's one thing that is for certain is that we live in a great country called the United States of America. And we're blessed and privileged to be in such a great nation. And I just want to take the time and I want to acknowledge all the veterans, those who have served and participated in service to our country. Whether this is something you've done in the past or something you're currently doing now, I just want to take the time and I want to acknowledge them and say thank you. Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for your hard work. Thank you for your commitment. You know, we have many people here at our church that have served in the military and who are actively serving. And we're thankful to God that he calls men and women to do some great and honorable things like that. Can we give it up and give a thank you to God for our amazing people who serve our country faithfully? Keeping us safe, man. I'm just, again, thankful to God for all of that. And a couple more things before we jump into the passage. We have an awesome CC Youth Ministry here, our student ministry that serves every Sunday evening with our teenagers, middle school and high school. Can you imagine hanging out with middle school kids? I just want you to take the time and think about it. Yes, some of you are shaking your heads. Couldn't imagine. They do it every single Sunday. All right, but it's a group of adults that take the time in it. What they want to do is they want to help kids to be champions for Jesus Christ in the next generation. And I want you just to take the time, and when you get time this week or today, just to pray for them. Pray for their patience, but also just pray that God will continuously send and bring many young men and women to be a part of that group to grow. Because there's one thing our students need is more men and women who are called by God to step up and help them in their faith. Am I right by that? Especially in the times that we're in today, man, just be thankful for them and be prayerful. And if you're interested and you want to serve and be a part of our family ministry, the kids or student ministry, come see us. We would love to get you connected. Tomorrow, it is the Memorial Day Parade. They're going to be going there, being great representatives for Christ Church and for Christ himself. They're going to be meeting here at 9:45 a.m. So if you have a student and you know someone who is a student and love to be a part of this, tell them to come on out. Hang out with them tonight at 6:30 p.m., but then also to join them for the Memorial Day Parade as well. Let's jump into the Word today. Open up your Bibles, 1 Thessalonians Chapter 3. We're continuing in a sermon series, The Adventure of Faith. How many of us know following Jesus is like an adventure, y'all? It's like an adventure, right? And on this adventure, there are roads, some dirty roads, some rocky roads, some messed up roads. But at the end of the day, there's always progress, right? There's always progress. There's always movement. And we want to talk about what it looks like to move forward with Jesus, both personally, but collectively also as a church. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, we're going to begin at verse 1. I'm going to read the first 10 verses for you guys. So let's jump right into it. It says this. This is the words of the Apostle Paul. So when we could bear it no longer, we were willing to be left on our own in Athens. We sent, verse 2, we sent Timothy, our brother, fellow worker for God, in the gospel of Christ to strengthen and encourage you in your faith, so that no one will be shaken by these trials. For you know that we were destined for this. Indeed, when we were with you, we kept warning you that we would suffer persecution. As you know, it has come to pass. For this reason, when I could bear it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith, for fear that the tempter had somehow tempted you and caused you to labor to be, and our labor to be in vain. Verse 6. But just now, Timothy has returned. He has visited us with good news about your faith and your love and the fond memories you have preserved, longing to see us just as we long to see you. For this reason, brothers, in all of our distress and persecution, we have been reassured about you because of your faith. For now we can go on living as long as you are standing firm in the Lord. How we can adequately thank God for you in return for our great joy over you in his presence. Night and day, we pray most earnestly that we will see you face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let me say a prayer. Dear Father, I thank you. I honor you. Today, Lord, we want to hear from you. We want to hear the shepherd's voice. The shepherd's voice that is a voice full of gentleness and a voice full of truth. It is a voice that leads. It is a voice that guides. It's a voice that comforts. So, Lord, let your voice echo through my words. And let your people hear your truth. And let us walk out of here saying, great is the Lord. Let us walk out of here reminding ourselves, God is for us. God is with us. Lord, would you lift up the downtrodden today? Would you lift up the distressed today? Would you speak to those, even in the midst of their lives, Lord, you are still producing good. Would you speak to those who, yes, life is going pretty well, but they just need a surge of energy, a new sense of energy to live for you in a much different and more passionate way. I love you, Lord, and I thank you. In Christ's wonderful name is who we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, again, we're continuing in this sermon series. We have been in the last several weeks, The Adventure of Faith. I want you guys to know, again, if you're just joining in with us here at the church, one thing we know is that God is a God who moves forward, right? Moving forward, and what I mean by that is God is always wanting to accomplish much through his people, right? Revealing his goodness and revealing his personhood, but also doing that amongst his people so they can see him in a much greater way and they can see the good that he wants to do. We believe here at the church, here at our campus, we believe that there is so much good for us when it comes to our future. And if you have a hard time seeing it, you must be living under the rock, because there's been a lot of great things that have been happening. I mean, we have seen growth. We have seen new faces. We have seen it all. And we can just say one thing. God is blessing this church, meaning that God is sending us on an adventure. And we want to be committed on this adventure. We want to walk with him on his adventure. And we want to know what to expect on this adventure as well. Well, some of you don't know, but as a pastor, I get the opportunity and I get to sit down with a lot of people. And when I say a lot of people, I mean a lot of people. And then a lot of people have different contexts and backgrounds and everything you can just imagine. It reminds me of this particular moment last year when I was working out of our Columbia Station location. I was just working, and then this lady walks in, never met her before, don't know if she's ever been to the church, or I don't know, really don't know much about her, or if she knows anything about the church. She just walked in the front office. And I can hear her from my office, and she just walked in and said, I'm looking to speak to a pastor. Now, these conversations happen quite often, more than you actually would think, where people would walk in, you're laughing, where people will walk in and just say, I need to speak to a pastor. And then, you know, of course, you know, hopefully somebody's available. I happen to be the one that was available for that day. And I began to sit down with her and talk to her, and it was very, very apparent she was having a bad day, right? I mean, she was having a bad day. I mean, from the moment she woke up, I'm not going to give the details because I want to respect her. She could still be watching and whatnot. But it was just very apparent that just from the moment she woke up, just things went downhill and downhill and downhill. And next year, you know, she's just at the bottom. And she's sitting in my office with her eyes full of tears. And I immediately can just tell within her face, she was there to get a sense of clarity, right? There to get a sense of clarity so that she can move in confidence, right? And you and I know a thing or two when it comes to having a bad day, am I right? For a lot of us, bad days have been something that has been more consistent than we would actually like. Right? If we can be honest, some of us, we don't just have bad days. Some of us, we have bad weeks. Right? Right? And you can fill in the blank. I don't know what a bad week or a bad day consists for you, but we all can probably define those days and just say they're not going very well. And what we are, and when we find ourselves in these moments, we're compelled to reach out and to find clarity. And so that we can walk in confidence, right? Right? Because without clarity, we don't have much confidence. And when we don't have clarity, we walk in a lot of chaos, right? And you and I would say what we need the most in our stressful moments is encouragement. Am I right? It's encouragement, right? But here's what I've noticed. Most of us lack encouragement because we're pursuing encouragement in areas that don't give us much clarity. Sure, they make us feel good in the moment, but they don't lead us to do good, if that makes sense, right? Sure, they make us feel important and whatnot and all of that, but most of us lack the courage because we aren't pursuing the origin of courage. Where the origin and the source of courage is. And today, I want to encourage you today, and pun intended when I say that, I want to encourage you today that if you're in a season where you find yourself discouraged, if you're in a season where you find yourself constantly having more bad days than you would like, if you're in a season where you're lacking clarity and you feel that, man, everything is just confusing and whatnot, I want you to know that when we look to Christ, He is the source of our encouragement today. He is the source of our encouragement. And this encouragement is not an encouragement just to make you feel good, but it's to help you to lead a life of resilience, right? It's to help you to lead a life of resilience and trust, right? Right? An encouragement that you and I often need to hear on a daily basis. And that's what this passage that we're about to read in 1 Thessalonians talks all about. Let me give a little bit of background so I can help land this idea that the Apostle Paul, this early church leader, wants to emphasize to this church. If you were with us in week one or week two, I really kind of got into the depths and the details of this church in Thessalonica. Now, in this church in Thessalonica, the origins of this church, how this church got started, was out of persecution means, meaning this church didn't have a happy first day, right? They didn't have a happy day one. Sure, there were a lot of people as Paul goes to Thessalonica, preaches the gospel, goes into the synagogue, does great work, but he's met with harsh persecution from the Jewish leaders, and next you know, a mob is formed. They drive Paul and his companions out of Thessalonica and all of that. But the one thing that was preserved, even in the midst of heavy persecution, the church remained. the church remained. Even in the midst of hostile territory where no one wanted Christianity to be at, the church stayed. And not only did the church remain, the church grew. And so Paul is writing in this letter at this time. He's actually writing probably from a place called in Athens. You can read about this in the book of Acts in chapter 17. He talks about it. He says, man, when we heard about what happened, when we hear about what's happening, but Paul has a sense of concern for this church. He has a sense of like, man, I'm worried that because we're not there, that the church isn't doing well, but he doesn't know that the church is actually doing very well. So what does Paul do? Paul sends this guy by the name of Timothy. Now, if you don't know Timothy, this is where we get the book of 1 and 2 Timothy, one of the early church leaders, one of Paul's young proteges that he helped grow in the faith. Why am I telling you all of this? What I love about Paul is that Paul was very good at sensing others' concern, having a concern for others, having a concern for others' needs. And the passage actually tells us three things Paul was greatly concerned about and what they needed in their situation. He says, number one, that people bring up verse three. In verse three, it says, we sent Timothy to strengthen and encourage you in your faith so that none of you would be, catch this word, shaken by these trials. Shaken by these trials. Here's the grand meaning of this word. Here's a great way to kind of view this word. This word can often mean, it can mean a metaphor that people were agitated or disturbed. Or here's another thing, they were greatly confused by what was happening in their lives. You ever have a moment where you kind of just ask yourself, why is this happening to me? Yeah. Right? Why? Or how about this? Why now? You ever had a why now moment? You know, you just get your finances in order, just paid off a couple things, right? You just got done doing this, and then bam, something comes in the mail, or you get an email, or you hear some type of message, whatever it may be, right? And then you just get hit with a shaken situation, right? A shaken situation. Now, why was it shaken, right? Why is this situation described as shaken? Well, it's described as this because when you look at the word in its original form, it means they were shaken because they were overthinking about the problem. Anybody overthinkers? It's a lot of hands, man. Yeah, keep your hand up. We go, Don, Logan, can we pray for them? My gosh, right? Right? Keep going, right? See, this word, its form and its meaning, the Apostle Paul says, man, I'm concerned that there are people that are disturbed because they're overthinking the problem and not looking to the one who has the solution, right? Right? They're overthinking. And one of the reasons why you and I grow greatly disturbed is because we are overthinkers. It's kind of our biggest problem in life, right? We overcomplicate things a lot, right? And we think by thinking of the problem, it's going to make the problem better. Right? Y'all are quiet on me today because I'm talking to you very much, right? We think if I just think about it enough, it will change. It will change, right? As if somehow you and I have telepathy powers and we can just, you know, go into the mind of problems and we can just change the problem and then next, no, right? Right? This word, I love Paul says, we have great concern for the people who are disturbed, right? Who are overthinkers. What else does he say? We have a great concern for those who have a misunderstanding of affliction, right? He said, we have a great concern for those who have misunderstanding of affliction. Look at verse 3 Again, he says this, so that no one would be shaken by these trials, which we've already talked about, these trials. This is the persecution. This is the things that they're going up against, that they're facing in the city of Thessalonica. But look how he continues on. He says, for you know we were destined for this. Indeed, when we were with you, verse 4, we kept warning you, or kept letting you know, or kept informing you. It's probably a much better way to say this. We kept informing you that you would suffer persecution. As you know, it has come to pass. One of the things that the reason why you and I lack encouragement, or one of the reasons why you and I find ourselves discouraged mostly, is because we have a lack of understanding our pain and the purpose of it, right? One of the great, great pastors who passed away, Tim Keller, God rest his soul, he says in his book, when he talks about pain, one of the hardest moments for the human, right, the hardest experience for the that a human can ever go through is the moments of pain. And the reasons why isn't necessarily the pain itself. It is just the question one asks himself because of pain, right? For instance, when we have moments of pain, the first thing we're trying to figure out is, well, what's the purpose for this, right? See, the reason why we grow agitated, pun intended for the word shaken, see how this is all connected? The reason why we grow agitated is because you and I have a lack of purpose, are trying to find the purpose of what we go through, right? We're trying to figure out, you know, why is this happening, or how could God use this for good, right? What good can God bring from these means? And we're processing all of that. And that's kind of some of the reasons why you and I struggle with pain a lot. A lot of the reason why we struggle with pain, because let me just be honest, and you might leave when I say this, because this is hard for me to admit and even say, that a lot of the reasons why pain feels so uncomfortable is because it's inconvenient. It messes with my comfort. Because anytime you threaten my comfort, I'm ready to fight you. You ever had somebody, you know, that you talk to, they talk to you way too close? It's very uncomfortable, right? They all up in your face, like, how you doing today, Pastor? Like, man, I can hear you 5 feet away. Not, you know, you about to kiss me right now. Like, let's relax, all right? You are in my comfort zone, right? And whenever my comfort zone is disrupted, I get agitated. Right? Right? And that's kind of what life looks like for us, right? Right, for us, what we think, or how we conceive life is, life should always be comfortable. Some of y'all are laughing, right? And anytime inconvenience happens, we grow greatly surprised. What? This is happening, right? How could this be, you know? Right? So Paul has a great concern, because he's speaking to a group of people who have a great who are agitated, because maybe they're overthinking about much of their affliction, but also, number two, they just need to learn how to interpret their affliction. I believe that day when I sat down with that lady, what I was able to help her out with the most was to help her to interpret the situation rightly, right? Teach her how to interpret it. Teach her, give her clarity in those moments, right? But also Paul says this third thing that greatly concerns them, that concerned him about this church. And he talks about this in verse 5. Look what he says. Verse 5, for this reason, because of everything that has happened, because of, you know, your awareness of what is, you know, why, you know, the purpose of your trials and being shaken by your trials. Look at what he says in verse 5. For this reason, I could bear it no longer. I sent to find out about your faith. He's talking about Timothy. He sent Timothy, who was with them in Athens, and he sent to Timothy to help them in their faith. Listen to what he says, though. For fear that the tempter, had somehow tempted you and caused our labor to be in vain. Let's stop there. This is the part where people grow a little bit uncomfortable with Christianity, right? Because just as much as we speak of a God who is for you, there is an enemy who is against you, right? Now, again, this is where a lot of people are like, okay, hey, I can get the whole Jesus and the cross thing. I can even settle with you, brother, with the Noah story. But this whole devil thing, I don't like that, right? Right? I don't like this whole idea. See, what Paul is doing, and actually if you take the time and you read, what Paul has been doing is he shows great concern that the city, that the people are facing not just, listen to this, not just outward circumstances, but now inner trials. Because you and I know there are outward trials. There are people, those are the people that annoy you, get on your nerves, right? Those are the people that cut you off, you know, but I ain't gonna say much about that because that happens every day to me. I must be a slow driver, I don't know. But then there's the inner trials. There's the inner battle, right? And the scriptures would point that much of our inner battle has to do with this thing called spiritual warfare, right? Spiritual warfare. It's just as much as you have a God who is for you, there is someone who is against you, right? There is someone who is against you, right? As a matter of fact, the 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter describes the unholy one as a roaring lion seeking to devour its prey, right? Just as much as God wants you to live your faith, there is someone who wants to destroy your faith. Now, what do these inner battles look like? How does the tempter seek to cause havoc within our lives? Well, here's the thing about the tempter. Let me just be honest with you. Number one, he is not powerful. So let's not get this mixed up. He is defeated. He is and subject to everything God allows him to do. Right? You can read about that all throughout the Gospels. But here's the one thing that he seeks to do. He only seeks to deceive you. Deceive. Because if there's one thing that discourages us the most is when we believe in the lies. Am I right? If there's one area in our lives where we grow most discouraged, it's probably because we have convinced ourselves that the lies are truth. That's probably what's going on, right? We've convinced ourselves and we said that whatever the lie may be present in our lives, right? Because the scripture says that this tempter, Satan, the devil, he is known as the father of, say it with me, lies. He's known as the father of lies, right? Now, how does he try to deceive you? You ever been accused yourself of much, and you believe in your accusations you tell yourself? Right? I'm a terrible mom. I'm not a good husband. Right? I'm not this. Right? And all these lies and to fill our minds with these untruthful things. Right? To fill our minds with these untruthful moments, friends. And he seeks to deceive us in that type of way. So why did I just go over all of this? Why did I just explain all of that? This is where we're going to land the plane right here. Where Paul sees this church. And what does Paul do? Paul, now it's easy to overlook this. He sees this church that is struggling both inwardly, outwardly, personally, possibly financially. And what does Paul do? Paul says it that we've sent Timothy to encourage you. There's one thing that I notice that God does very well. In the midst of our moments when we are facing life at its hardest, when we feel God is the furthest, when we feel God isn't near us, Because we will have those moments, friends. Can I just tell you right now, my job as a pastor is to equip you to endure well. My job as a pastor is not just to give you the happy-go-lucky passages that you and I love to shout over. One of my biggest jobs is to help you to endure well. But the one thing that I know, one way God helps us, whether it's through the shaking trials, whether it's through the accusations we are believing about ourselves, whatever it may be, the one thing God is faithful in doing, he is sending us people to encourage us in the adventure of faith. There's one thing that I love about God, right? Because there's moments where you feel, God, where are you? And then he brings somebody in your life. And then it's easy to overlook the presence of someone is actually meant to represent the presence of your Father. That God sending this man, or God sending this woman, or God sending this family, or God sending this particular people to come into your life. And Timothy goes back to Thessalonica, and Paul says, as Timothy came back to Athens from Thessalonica, Timothy was like, Paul, they're killing it. They're doing great. I was able to encourage them. We were able to strengthen them and all of that, because there's one thing that I've noticed. God sends others as instruments of his encouragement. There's one thing that I've noticed. God is really good at providing for your needs to encourage you. So while we are asking ourselves, well, if God really loved me, he would fix this. But God's great love for you is actually drawing near to you through other people. It's actually drawing near to you. God sends others as an instrument of his encouragement. There's so many of us that have probably heard of this complete, utter talk about how people say that I don't need to go to church, right? And I always find it interesting that some of those people that say that are the ones who need church the most, right? Right? Because there's this mindset, and I get it, there's church hurt out there, and there are things people have that's problematic with the church, and I get it, the church doesn't have the most clean, polished history and all of that. I'm with you, but here's the one reason why the church exists, to remind you that your God is good. To bring you back into this great reality that though these trials may feel shaken, may be shaking you, that though you may be tempted to quit, I want to tell you and remind you that the Lord is faithful, that the Lord is good. Friends, can I just tell you, when life gets hard, don't run from the church. Because there's this temptation where people say, I just need to take a break. No, don't do that. As a matter of fact, the pressures and the shakiest of life tells you I need to be in the church even more. I need to be in the church even more, because the church is the place where God provides his presence for you. Now, that doesn't mean he can't do it outward and anywhere else. Right? God is not confined to the four walls here at Old Brooklyn, right? He is everywhere, right? But at the same time, I want you to know the reason why we gather is to encourage the discouraged, right? The reason why we gather is to encourage and to remind people, great is the Lord, to help bring clarity in their situation, to help them to walk out in confidence. That's the reason why we do this, friends, right? Timothy went there to strengthen and encourage the people, because God usually does a really good work when you're around other people. He usually does really good work, right? When we surround ourselves around people, especially people of faith, right? I love what Paul says about Timothy. Go to verse 2 for them, Logan. I love what Paul says about Timothy. He says, we sent Timothy, our brother and fellow worker for God for God in the gospel of Christ. Keep that up there for them, right? Now, Timothy was known for being, did you catch what he said? A fellow worker for Christ. A fellow worker for Christ, right? Right? He was known for this. Because friends, just as much as we need to receive encouragement, we also need to be extenders of encouragement as well too, right? Right? We also need to be people of encouragement because we live in a very hard world. We live in a very hard society, and families are hard, and times are hard, and it's easy just to kind of tell yourself, I'm just going to mind my own affairs and mind my own business and keep it moving. But can I remind you, friends, number one, encouragement is your ministry, not just a gesture. Encouragement, it's your ministry. It's your calling. Encouragement is something we are meant to be compelled to do every single day. Can I ask you a question? Do you ask God to position you in your day to be a voice of encouragement? Right? When was the last time you asked God to say, God, I know I have a lot going on in my life. And sure, I know these things are hard, but I want to be your vessel. I want to be your good today. I want to be your light. But maybe the question isn't so much how is God going to be with me today, but rather how is God going to work through me today and how I can be the voice of encouragement. I love what the great, great Elizabeth Elliot says. She said, let your life be an echo of God's voice to someone who needs it. Be his instrument of encouragement. Listen to this one more time, friends. Let your life be an echo of God's voice to someone who needs it. Be his instrument today. Right? Number one, encouragement is your ministry, not just a gesture. Number two, encouragement helps others to see God more clearly. To see God more clearly. A couple days ago, I sat down, or I had a phone call, I'm sorry, with a guy who relapsed. And I have these phone calls quite often. And he had a guy who relapsed, and things weren't going well, and he just had so many questions, and he was so angry with God. I mean, just so angry with God, right? And I just remember just reminding him, hey, brother, God can take on your accusations right now, right? Being angry with God is where we've all been in our lives. But let me just tell you the truth of God right now. Right? And I was able to help him in that moment to see God more clearly because pain was distracting him from seeing who God truly is and what God always and who God always will be. Right? And number three, be the encourager you needed. That resonated, didn't it? Right? You know what we all don't need is another accuser in our lives. We already have the Holy One accusing us left and right. He's the one throwing accusation and shade and shame at us all the time, right? You know what someone else doesn't need? More accusation. Be the encourager you needed, right? Start with your children. It's hard to encourage your kids, especially when they don't listen to you for 45 times in a second. Somebody say amen. Be the encourager you need it. Be the encourager for your own spouse. Right? Right? Be the encourager in your workplace. How many of us need to do this more and more in our workplaces? Right? Because it's easy just to go to work, mind your affairs, keep your head down, get your paycheck, and go home. Right? It's easy to do that. Right? But I'm asking you this week to pray to God and say, Lord, help me to be the voice, your voice this week. Help me to be your voice. Help when people hear me, they actually hear you. that as I speak words and I do whatever that may be necessary in the moment, it is not I they see, but you. But you they hear and they see. Let's pray. Dear Father, I thank you for today. I thank you that you call us to be people who are just committed to this call of encouraging. A beautiful, beautiful, beautiful reality, but seems like a lost art today. Father, I pray that you would position us in areas in our lives this week to step up. To step up, God. That we wouldn't shrink back into our ways that obviously aren't working, but you would position us to step up to be your voice. Father, I also pray that as we pray for this great calling to be your people who encourage, I also pray that we would seek encouragement as well too on our own. Because, Lord, this week we will have shaky moments, agitated moments. This week we will be tempted to overthink. This week we will be tempted to listen to lies. This week we will be tempted to fall into the same thought patterns as before. But I pray, Lord, that in those moments, when you feel far and distant, that you send the right person to say the right words so we can hear from you and we can be reminded you are near. You are with me. And you are for me. I'm here now, but God is with me forever. So help us this week, Lord. I pray that all these things would bring honor and glory to your precious name. It's in the name of Jesus who we pray. Amen.